What is up, guys and girls, and welcome to episode 25 of the Football Manager Creator Show. With me today, we've got the famous Super Swan.
And I like how you call me the famous. I like how that's a good intro. I very much appreciate it.
Well, we'll let the listeners decide how famous. I mean, famous doesn't necessarily mean, you know, people from Big Brother are famous.
I'd go Big Brother. It's fine. Do you know what? I wouldn't mind going.
I'll take Love Island.
Yeah. I'm not quite as attractive enough to be on Love Island, but Big Brother or like a Love Island on the radio would do me brilliantly because then they wouldn't have to see this ginger beer that I got going on.
What about The Only Way is Cheshire?
No. We'll avoid that. Chester. I wouldn't come out of there alive, literally.
Okay. And also, we've got no Park Era today. Kia kaha to all of you people from him. And we have got in his place Donut Donny. How are you doing, my friend?
Morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? How are you all?
I'm good. Super Swan's lacking his coffee.
I've run out of milk. I'm gutted.
That's a rookie mistake, isn't it? Like,
so I'm running on pure adrenaline right now. So we'll see how that happens in the quiz later on when I get absolutely ruined.
Do you know when the last time I had a cup of coffee was?
Last year.
Probably longer than that. Like, I literally only drink water. So I think you should do the same. I think you should just drink water and come off that false high that is coffee.
It's all in my head, isn't it?
It's all in your head. And then
can say is good luck. I'm not even a coffee drinker. I'm a tea drinker. So
I used to drink tea in gallons. It's in my family. My mum, my nan. I used to go to my nan's, right? And she'd literally be like, finish her drink of tea. Like, literally, to take the last mouthful and then the kettle had already be on. So I grew up drinking loads of it. And it was only about a year and a half ago now where I stopped drinking it altogether. And now all I drink is water. And do you know what? I don't feel like I can't function anymore without a tea or coffee in the morning.
Does squash count as just drinking water?
I very rarely have it, but I do count it. Like,
I drink a lot of squash.
Yeah, it's flavoured water, basically.
Yeah. I think it counts because basically the difference between squash and tea and coffee is obviously tea and coffee dehydrate you, don't they? Even though they hydrate you at the same time, they do also dehydrate.
And they've got caffeine as well.
Yeah.
So.
Whereas squash is just basically diluted water.
well, in that case, I'm on the squash train then because I drink like a load of squash.
Do it
every day.
Get on the squash train first thing in the morning. I'm forget your coffee. Yeah, but forget the coffee. Just do squash. I mean,
you can't see right now, but I have got a bottle of Robinson squash in my hand as we speak.
What you can't really see is that he's actually got the jar of coffee and he's eating it.
Oh, God. If that worked, I would be on board with that as well.
He's got no milk, so he's probably trying it.
Yeah. Right, okay. So episode 25, guys, we're a quarter of the way to 100. Will we get there? Only time will tell. But we do have another country.
Oh, right. Let's play the game of guess where this country is. Right.
It's going to be a tough one to guess. I don't know. I'm not very good at geography. I probably do know. I probably do know. I just don't want to say it in case it's the wrong one.
What to begin with?
Yeah, that would help.
S.
Sweden.
We already had Sweden.
Somalia.
Swaziland.
No. We don't have any of them. So if we do, if we have, if
South
there's someone
Korea?
From Swaziland, close.
Oh,
but it wasn't
close
South
to
Korea.
South Korea.
No, it's not close to South Korea. It's
South Africa.
South Africa.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I get a point on the quiz for that?
No.
No.
In fact, you lose one.
Well, for getting an answer right,
you jumped the gun. The quiz hasn't started, so it's a penalty.
Oh, this is not even related to countries anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to keep that in my back pocket just in case I need it later.
So we have a 57 average audience now. So we're still keeping up around that 60 mark, which is awesome all this time. Like 25 weeks in, probably more than 25 weeks in because we have missed a couple of episodes. We've still managed to keep up a quite a consistent number, which is nice. And we've got a total of 1,849 listens. So closing in on that 2,000 mark.
Nice.
Nice.
So let's talk a bit about our saves, and we'll let Mr. Donut go first.
Okay.
Is that like your official name? Like just you get because he's new.
We're going to call him Mr. Donut. I've called him that because on the Skype call, his thing says MD, because obviously his name's Mark. So I just thought I'd call him Mr. Donut instead.
Mr. Donut sounds so polite. My God.
I know. I'm normal on this podcast, you know.
I used to do three saves all on Twitch, but it's gone down to two now because I just haven't got time to do all three of them. So I'm a lower level manager maestro, I suppose you call it, because I never do top level team saves. So when you guys talk about Liverpool, Newcastle, I go, what's that? So the saves I do are currently as I said before, a lower level management level 10 save, which is AFC Benson, which is a make believe village side, and good old Oxford. I'm an Oxford supporter. Woo!
Ouch.
Nice.
Ouch. So,
what do you mean, ouch?
Well, I'm just saying I'm a Newcastle fan. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything more than that.
We had a great game against you. A great game.
I'm not saying anything, right? Because
Most people do.
I tuned into Donny's stream the other day, and I just picked the right time to join because he was playing Swansea.
You do that a lot, though, don't you, Swan?
I know. I don't know how I managed to do it. I just tune into people saying they just see me playing Swansea.
I'm sure you've done it to me twice. Like, you've come into mine, and then you've managed to get your edit the tactic thing in there just in time. Like, and it's like, why couldn't you have come in like the next game?
I know. I just have this season. my FM senses tingle. I'm like, oh, I need to go into that stream. But
I remember that moment as well because it was the. I call it the League Cup because I'm an old fogey. It's a League Cup round two, and my Oxford side were away to Swansea. And by the time Swan joined, we were 2-1 up already. Yeah. And I was feeling so guilty. So I was like, sorry. I think we won it 3-2 in the end. Yeah, so I have an Oxford United save, which I'm really just starting and I'm having fun doing. But my beloved AFC Benson have been around since level 10, and we're level 6 now. And we're top of level 6, but we've got a unique problem now. We're rising up the league so fast that my board are just not with it, because we've moved to a different stadium for the second time because our stadium's been built, and we moved to St Albans, which is what, 60 miles away from where I live in Oxfordshire.
Getting all American about it.
Yeah,
and moving states.
And we're semi-pros still. I keep asking the board, look, we might be going to League Two. We need to be professional. And they say, nope, can't afford it.
So wait a minute. So your board has built you two stadiums?
No. They're building us a new stadium, but it takes 3 years to build. So we had to move to Hemel Hempstead to take over their stadium while we were at League Seven, I think it was. National North,
right.
National South. And then we got too big for that, so we had to move to St Albans. So... It's like
the ball's like, nah, you don't need to be professional. Clearly, you're not being successful. No,
yeah,
not at
exactly.
All.
Exactly.
You'll be semi-pro in the Premier League soon.
I don't know if it's part of the game rules. Is it, you guys might know this? Is it the game mechanics when you actually go into league football, like English League Two? Do you have to go professional?
Yeah, I think it turns automatically.
I think that's actual league rules as well, though, isn't it? You can't go any higher than the Vanarama North unless you're at the Vanarama National, unless you're a professional club. I think, don't quote me on it, but I think that's the case, because obviously that's classed as professional football properly then, isn't it? From League Two up.
Okay, so the board got a unique problem with 10 to 15 points clear of the National League, and we're still semi-pro, and we got about...
But the board are like... Oh, but it's not a unique problem right now, is it?
No, we can't afford it. That's all they're saying at the moment.
I think once you hit the promotion, then I think he'll come in and say that you've got professional status.
Just not get promoted. They might just say, well, you can't be promoted. If it is league rules, which I am quite highly sure it is, I think that they can just like lose their promotion spot and the next person down gets it.
That'd be unique if Miles has actually put that into the game, that I can get promoted because I wasn't professional.
I think that is the case. I'm not 100% because I haven't. So you might end up, say you finish first, you might end up the teams underneath you going up and you not going up until you've got professional status.
I wouldn't like that to happen live on stream. My no, reaction. I know.
That would be awkward. Yeah, we're getting promoted. Oh.
Oh, what's this news article? We're not getting promoted. What?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hope that doesn't happen.
That'd be a unique way of ending this my AFC Benson stream, wouldn't it? That I got promoted, but I never got promoted.
Yeah. Promotion that never happened.
Yeah. I just hope that's I'm near the end of that season as well, so it's gonna probably happen in the next stream or two when I do it. So we'll see.
Okay.
And my Oxford stream is just a basic League One stream, and Swan knows it so well.
I know. Unfortunately, it's like a dagger to my heart.
They're doing really well at the moment. I think they're 9 games unbeaten at the top of the table. So I completely revamped the Oxford side. So the Oxford side that we knew that are doing so well in real life, I've kind of got rid of all the loanies.
So right, let me ask you a question on that note, right? I'm a Newcastle fan, and I struggle to get rid of, especially when I'm doing like, I mean, you're not doing a Legends save, so to speak. Like, no. The one I'm doing is the Mad Scientist database, the 2006-2007 database. And I'm struggling to get rid of certain players. Not because that no one wants them, mm-hmm. because I don't want to get rid of them. And it's kind of, you know, like when you really like a player, and you're just like, yeah, but I want to try and keep him. Like,
yeah.
The idea was that I wanted to build around the youngsters that we had at the time, like James Milner, Andy Carroll, Scott Stephen Taylor, them guys. But
it's tricky to loan players out. It's still very tricky to loan players out. And all of us have been playing loads of versions of Football Manager. Even the old Championship Manager days, it was very difficult to loan players out.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that I don't want to get rid of them, even though I know they're probably not good enough. Like Andy Carroll, for instance. I've just got rid of Michael Owen, as we talked about on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
But his favourite player, by the way.
But I don't want to get rid of Andy Carroll. But at the minute, he's not showing me he's good enough to stay. So I've just sent him out on loan, and I'm hoping he comes back as like a completely different player. And if
it
he
can,
doesn't...
It can happen. It can happen. It depends what club they go to. If they go to the same level or different country, they do develop better players. But if they have a really crap time over there, then it could go the other way.
Yeah. So what my question is did you get rid of any players from your Oxford team that you really like in real life? And you're like, oh, I don't really want to get rid of him, but you had to for the sake of the club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the hard thing. I'm struggling
no
to do.
No sentiment at all. Just cull.
Yeah.
I'm a real dictator when the game starts. If I look at players, even though I really like, I'm really, you know, a real big Oxford fan, and I thought, oh, Mackie's a great player, but he's useless in the game. So I got rid of him. I sold him. I sold the captain within 2 weeks of the save.
Ouch.
The captain brutal. Is a great. Great guy in real life, and I forgot his name, Masirio. I can't pronounce it correctly. But he was 33 years old. His stats were declining, and I thought, like yourself, I want to build youth players up. And I had some youth players coming in, including one certain player called Samuel Allardyce. He's a real player. He's Sam's Allardyce's grandson, and he plays for Oxford United youth team. And I actually promoted him into the side. So I got rid of my captain within 2 weeks. And James Mackey, great experienced striker who used to play for QPR and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
I remember him, yeah.
But he doesn't score goals. And I wanted to score goals. So I thought, right, I'm selling him. And he went to Rochdale for about 5,000. And I even got rid of Ben Woodburn, who's the top Liverpool prospect, who's the Welsh international. He plays for Oxford. But he was brilliant, but he just wasn't scoring goals. So I thought, I want loanies who could play goals. So I just got rid of him. I'm brutal at my saves. Yeah, I'm brutal.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm the same.
Yeah, I want players who are suited to my formation. If they don't perform, like I've got Matty Taylor, who is a Bristol City player, but he was actually born in Oxford and he wasn't actually an Oxford player. So he's come back to his homeland and he's still on loan here, but he's not scoring goals. He's on my bench at the moment. So I'm thinking of saying goodbye to him.
So yeah.
Just get rid. If you ain't scoring goals, you ain't in the team.
I think it's purely because of the status of the players. Because I know that them players generally go into being good in real life. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, do I want to get rid of them because they're not very good in the game, or do I want to keep them and hope they progress to what they did in real life? So I don't know. I need to be more like that. I think I need to be more brutal and just go, do you know
you
what?
You have to keep thinking it's the game mechanics. This game is not like the real person. So your Andy Carroll might be really good, or he might really be crap. Your Michael Owen might not be as quick as he is in real life. Well,
I don't have a Michael Owen.
When you did have him. When you did have him.
I never had a Michael Owen. He never played for me.
One day he's going to turn around and he's going to embrace Michael Owen. It's going to happen.
No, he's going to write about me in his next book. I'm going to be his new Alan Shearer.
So, yeah, you might have the odd one or two players you want to keep in your side for because you're a big fan of them in real life. But if you really want the true essence of the game and they're not performing well, you kick them out and get some money for it.
Okay. Right, okay. Super Swan, how is your save going?
So, yeah, I got about 2 weeks' worth of updates to give, so I'll try my best to remember what's going on because I've slept since then, and as we've already established, I haven't had my coffee, so I kind of have to go back through the archives of my brain and work out. So last time I left us all off, I believe we were in for a title challenge in our first season with Lazio, and we were top of the table for the longest amount of time, and we were up there, and it was a bit of a shock. We weren't expected to be at the top of Lazio, but we got up there, and we got down to the last game of the season, and we got tipped to the post by a Catalan.
That wasn't a laugh, by the way. I'm really sad for you.
I could take that, 100%. So it was a bit disappointing, but then I thought, well, we weren't expected to be at the top anyway. So
where were you expected to finish?
Champions League places.
So you did, yeah. Overly.
Yeah, exactly. So I was happy with that. And you know, if somebody said to me at the start of the season, you'll finish second place, I would have gone, yep, yeah, cool, happy days, back in Champions League. So we did lose out on the title, but we were also in the Europa League 2, or as I affectionately call it, the Europa League Conference 2 Cup final, because I don't think the game can work out what its name actually is. I think the official name is the Europa Conference League.
Yeah, that's the official name.
So I think that's the official name, but for whatever reason, the game thinks it's called the Euro Cup 2. So I call it the Europa League Cup Conference 2 League. But we were up against AZ Alkmaar in the final.
And we had championship on the end of that.
Why not? The longer the better. It makes it sound more prestigious. Exactly. So I'm all for it. So we did go up against AZ Alkmaar in the Europa League 2 conference final, and we did win that competition. So we have won a European trophy in our journeyman series. So we are working our way slowly up. So we are now within season 2 of our Campus Champions with Lazio, our club 5. And obviously we started the season off with high aspirations. We were like, right, we nearly won the league last season, so we got to try and aim for the top of the league this season. And it's safe to say our season completely fell apart and we lost about our opening 6 games, drew 2. We were one spot above the relegation zone at one point. So obviously the team that we brought in, I'd spent £76 million on one player, which is the most I've ever spent on a player in Football Manager 20. And he wasn't performing. So I was thinking, oh, I've just ruined all this now. I've spent all this big money on a player. He hasn't performed.
Was it Mike Owen?
Do you honestly think he's worth £76 million?
I personally don't, 27? No.
Well, I think that's your answer, pretty much. So
Football Eric Manager might disagree, though.
Well, that's very true, because, I mean, how much was he worth in your save?
40 to start with, and I got rid of him for 19.
There we are. So clearly £40 million is the
but then on the
Michael Owen benchmark.
In my defence as well, I tried signing Rossi from Manchester United because obviously I only got him on loan, and they won £160 million for him.
Yeah,
and he's so he generally isn't as good as Michael Owen is at that time. So one of them, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So we signed Eric Brunemir, £76 million. He early start of the season, bit of a flop. My head was in my hands. Like, what am I going to do here? So I slightly tweaked the formation, went 3 at the back. 2 wing-backs, 2 strikers, try and get some more width in there. And we've started to turn the season around a bit. So we are now sort of just outside the Champions League place. I think we're about 6th place now. So we've got a good run going now. And we've managed to get out of our Champions League group as well, which we had Atletico Madrid, we had Köln, and we had Valencia in our group. Ooh. So we was a bit of a tough group.
That was tough. Where's Cologne?
Well, it was quite interesting with Cologne because, yeah, they're in Germany and they got four last season.
Yeah.
And I looked at where they were and they're actually fighting relegation in their own league at the moment. So I don't know what's going on with them, but we did manage to go ahead in our Champions League group at the expense of Valencia and Cologne. So they're out. So we are now going into our round of 16 starting next week. I won't reveal who we've got because I don't think I've told on camera who it is yet. So I won't say anything on here.
No so, exclusives.
It is, exactly. You've got to watch the channel to find out, boys. So, so going into next week now, we've got our Champions League campaign carrying on. We're chasing the top four. We're trying to sort of revive our season. And like I say, fingers crossed, we can try and... I don't think we're going to go for title. I think the title is way out of the equation at this point after our disastrous start.
Quick question then. What was the board like when you had that amazing start of your season?
Well, I think the lowest manager rate I went down to was a D on the scorecard. I was
thinking, love a D.
Yours not mine. But I was thinking I could get sacked, yeah. I was thinking I could get sacked.
What's the lowest rating? Is it E in the game?
I think so, yeah. Or F, I think it is. Is it F? Does it go as far as F?
I've never been that low, to be fair.
No, nor me. So I'm not really sure, but...
Maybe viewers can let us know then.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've ever got lower than an E on your manager scorecard,
I think F probably is because it means fuck.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
It
could be like the old GCSE grades. That used to be from A to F and then U.
Yeah.
If you had a U, you know you're completely fucked.
Yeah. I can hold my hand up and say I had a U.
I had a few.
And you'll make you laugh when I got it as well. I got it in Welsh.
In what? In Welsh. Oh,
that's a tough language though.
I can speak a bit of Welsh, right? But the pay goes like charging.
Could you not roll your R's? Is that what it was?
Oh, you know I'm a very good roller of my R's. But it was stupid, right? And it makes me sound even more stupid because we had to do this exam where it would play a tape and it would ask us questions. We had to write down the answers. So the first question was, for example, where did Donut Donny go after tea? And the answer would be something like, did he go to the park? Did he go to the cinema? Or did he go to play football? And then the second question would be, what film did he see in the cinema? So I'm thinking, oh, well, clearly the answer to question one is going to be the cinema. So I didn't really pay that much attention.
All right.
And then I walked out of there with you. So yeah, I can hold my hand up and say that I got a U in my GCSEs. Yeah. So maybe there's a U in the manager rated, maybe.
Maybe. I just want to say, though, I don't agree with the whole GCSE thing anyway. I think when you're at school, that's a stupid time. At that age, it's a stupid time to grade you on anything. I know they've got to do it some way or another, but
I
left school with no GCSEs, literally none. And I've been to uni and I work in a school now.
Wow, amazing.
Because at some point, I think it was around 18, 19, when I'd done a couple of years of rubbish work, I decided something clicked and I just decided I've got to do something with my life. And I did it. And when you decide that, you're more driven. I think when you're at school, you just want to be out with your mates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let's not go on to too much of a tangent with that, but I just wanted to mention that. So if you've got any listeners who are 16 years old or whatever, and you've not done too well in your GCSEs, I mean, this year is not going to be a big deal because I think most people are going to just get passed.
They've done it already, haven't they? They've done the exams already, Somehow, haven't they?
I think they're just going to try and pass them through if they've done enough sort of assessment work and that. But yeah, my point is don't get too down about it. Just, you know, sooner or later it will click and you'll go and do whatever you need to do to get where you want to be. Yeah. So do not worry about your GCSEs too much. It's stupid. Right.
Stay in school, kids.
Stay in school. I'll give you
a quick GCSE story, very quick. When I was at school, we were the very first year ever to do GCSEs. And when we started doing GCSEs, even the teachers didn't have a clue what they were doing. So today we're doing computer studies. Here's the book. So let's start from page one. Let's read together. Yeah. And we're going, you're serious? We haven't got much of what we've got to do here. So that was the first time we were doing GCSEs. And then you could do GCSEs in Rolling Stones music and stuff now. We just had basic eight subjects and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mad. It's like the whole thing. The issue I've got is that everyone learns differently, and I think it's the whole issue of teaching an elephant to climb a tree.
Yeah.
Or a fish to climb a tree, whatever it is meant to be. Do you know what I mean? But like, you know, a monkey can climb a tree, but a fish can't climb a tree. But a fish and a monkey in a school would be doing the same lessons.
If the fish was having a lift with the monkey, it can go up the tree.
I was going to say, I personally would love to see an elephant try and climb a tree. But...
Or an elephant, yeah. Elephant
that's just
or
one
fish.
Man's opinion.
Yeah, but that's the point. Do you know what I mean? Like, in a school, you've got loads of different animals, so to speak. You know, not everyone's the same. Some have strengths where they can climb ropes or climb trees. Others are better swimmers. You know, they shouldn't be really taught the same way because that's not how they learn. So it's not beneficial to everyone the way that schools are done. Anyway, again, bit of a tangent. Right, so have you finished with your save there?
I think pretty much. I think, yeah, so going into next week, we've got Champions League, try and get back into top six. Fingers crossed we can try and rescue our season, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, so just quickly going over mine. We've just played 13 games, and we've had 5 draws, 3 losses, and 5 wins. They have been 2 FA Cup games versus Carlisle and Watford, 2 wins. Two of the wins were FA Cup games. One was in the Euro Cup versus PSV, obviously.
All right.
All right. The 2 Premier League wins in the last 13 games were both against Sheffield United. And every game in between has been a loss or a draw.
I was just going to say, using my mental math there, I was trying to work out how many of those were league wins. So that means there was only 2.
2 of them were league wins, yeah.
So the rest of the draws and the losses are also league games in as well.
So we had 2 FA Cup games and a Euro game. So that means 10 games in the Premier League and only 2 of them were wins. Oh, and they were both against Sheffield United.
Who did you lose to?
Oh, I can't remember.
Blackburn.
Any big names?
No, not really. I think Chelsea that was makes the biggest it worse. One we lost to.
Yeah, exactly.
It does make it worse, yeah. It does make it worse. Although, weirdly, Liverpool are like 15th, 16th in the league. And we're like on 31 games now.
Oh, the late bloomers. They're going to come back. And
how mad is that, though?
Come back and win. They're going to be Champions League by the end of the season. Mark my words.
So we are... Yeah. So we are in the last 16 against Sevilla after beating PSV on aggregate 6-3.
Mate, stop. Just stop. Stop driving this dagger into me.
Right?
You know...
PSV 6-3, it rhymes. You can get that in your head. You can sing that all the time. 6-3 PSV, 6-3 PSV. I'm just saying, it rhymes. And we've made some signings. We bought Sergio Busquets, or Busquets, or however you want to say it. But 1.3k.
Nice.
What?
Did you sign from Barca?
From Barca.
1.3k?
Yes, £1,300.
How old is he now?
I think he's 15.
Frankie. Okay.
What's his potential?
Very good. I don't know. He's good. He's good.
But the problem is you're going to have to wait 5 years for him to come good.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know if this save is going to last 5 years, but I'm hoarding. I'm hoarding. On the upper hand, does anyone remember Cisco?
Yeah.
Cisco.
What do you remember about Cisco, Donny?
Pretty decent player, I think. Don't think he developed that much, though.
Oh, yes, I know. Midfielder.
Yeah.
Well, Newcastle signed him.
Right.
In real life, from Villarreal. It was famously scouted via YouTube.
Okay.
God, yes. You're
and
right.
He was a massive, massive, massive flop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've just bought him for 2.5 million.
well, you know.
With the potential for it to be 22.5 million.
So the game thinks he'd be decent then?
Supposedly. He was meant to be decent in real life as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've not had him yet. He joins in the next transfer window. So we'll find out. But I needed a striker. He looked decent, attribute wise. So that's good. But yeah, I thought it'd be a nice little hook as well, because obviously he was a massive flop at Newcastle. So I saw him, I was like, oh, actually, bring him back to Newcastle. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully it
won't.
From
the sounds of things, you're making the same mistakes as they did in real life, mate.
So in future,
getting rid of Michael Owen and bringing in Cisco instead.
Yeah.
So in future episodes, you'll say he was a flop.
Yeah. So in a few years, looking into my crystal ball, we're going to get relegated three times.
Yeah. And people are like, how did this happen? What have I done wrong?
And then you go back to episode 25 when you said, oh, we're going to try and see what it's going to be like.
Yeah. Scout on YouTube. Yeah, he's meant to be all right, didn't he?
The rage is that I'm going to have, though, when Cisco's shite.
Yeah.
No one to blame but yourself.
Did you hear the story? Him off and bring Busquets on.
Did you see the story on the YouTube when, is it Graham, the famous time when Graham Souness was Southampton manager, and this guy, was it Weir's, meant to be Weir's brother or uncle?
Yeah.
Think that then.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that, yeah. So anyway, we're still pushing for sixth place finish, which is where we're supposed to be. We're 3 points behind them in eighth at the minute. So it's one of them. But yeah, it's not going too bad. We're doing really, really well in the cups. Really well in the cups. Just not very good in the league at all.
Where's the ball predicted you to finish?
Sixth. Well, they want us to qualify for the Euro Cup.
And where are you at the moment?
Eighth.
Oh.
3 points behind sixth with five games left. No, seven games left.
You got a chance.
Games in the Premier League, isn't there?
Yeah, you got a chance.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I'm at, guys. Shall we move on to the main topic?
We shall.
Okay, so we tweeted out a Twitter. We tweeted out a tweet. Has Football Manager become too in-depth? Does it take too long to play now? And if so, what game did it peak at? Right, so a lot of people recently have been playing, you know, the old game, Championship Managers and all that, which they love. Like, I don't know if it's a nostalgia thing, but if that's the case, you would expect it to have died down a little bit with the new databases that the likes of Mad Scientist are bringing out, you know, the retro databases. So, and it hasn't. So I'm wondering if it's because Football Manager has become too in-depth or it takes too long. So we're going to read out a few of these tweets and then we'll talk about it ourselves. So the first one comes from Dodgy Gamer. He said, the level of detail is one of the things that draws me in. What slows me down are things like scouting meetings. Would love to have director of footballs I could trust to make sensible deals within the parameters I give them. And pre-season takes way too long to get from May to August. Yeah, I agree with that. And also international breaks, they take forever as well, which is annoying because you're not playing the game. You're just watching the process embargo. FM Stag, nope, bring it on. I only feel sorry for new users who would find it quite overwhelming. But I would guess that the vast majority of those who play FM have at least tried it before. The simple stuff, CM0304, was peak. Since it changed to FM, it's got better each year. Then Princess Cheech.
Cheechy Baby.
Princess Cheech. If you don't know what we're talking about, head over to Twitter, /SuperSwan, and yeah. Check out his Final Fantasy save. I love the detail. You've just got married to him, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
No. Me and Cheech got
married. Won't go any further. They want to find out.
Okay. also, I don't know if you've seen, but you also got married as well.
Me?
Yeah. Did you see?
I'm already married.
Well,
is that going to be an issue?
It possibly, but you should have a look and see who your new wife is.
I will do. I love the detail that's in it now, says Cheech. But I also know people who have more fun playing the simpler CM0102 style. But for me, definitely the more in-depth, the better. I don't even like FM Touch because there's stuff missing like touchline shouts. Again, I agree completely with that. T. Davey, or Tyler, I would like more depth. It hasn't peaked yet, in my opinion.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm. FM Works, the kit supplier. He does kits for all your
kit needs.
Kit needs, yeah, we'll go with kit needs. I
personally, he's a kit, he's your man.
He is, yeah. I personally don't think so. Employing the right staff to deal with certain non-management scenarios can help with the season speed, but you're trying to win a league or a cup. I personally want to know as much as possible. Managing lower league clubs help you get into the game more too. I've been playing religiously since 1994 and I'm looking forward to seeing how the game develops more. One thing for sure, the 3D match engine definitely needs improvement.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that. Playing sensible soccer graphics.
sensible soccer, oh my God.
That was a good game.
That was a great game.
It was, but you wouldn't play it now.
People do.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh, wow, I talked to a couple of friends. They wanted to. They asked me where was Swaz, and they said, "Oh, you can find it on this website." And they found it, and they were playing it.
There we are.
Okay, so apparently it's okay to have sensible soccer graphics and still.
They like
it
better than FIFA.
That's another game that I think's got too complex. FIFA 98 was by far the best FIFA, and then it just started. You know, you had to press 6 buttons to shoot, and it's just like just fucking press 0 like you used to, or circle like you used to, hammer it in the back of the net. Sean OMGFM, I love the detail, but anytime I introduce a mate who hasn't played since Championship Manager or one of the early FMs, they are totally out of their depth and lose interest very quickly.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Love the depth, Bobby G Gaming, love the depth and would like to see more statistics based in the game, e.g. full history of each team, most appearances, goals, etc. to compare your players.
Mm-hmm.
Also somewhere you can see who has played under your appearances, goals, assists, etc. The trucking football manager. Nah, there's plenty more to come. I think the great thing about the level of depth is that you can choose not to use it. To an extent, you can. You can delegate whatever is too confusing or too much to the assistant and only play the bits of the game you want to.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd say that's a good shout.
Yeah.
FM Russia. I think if you've moved up with the new additions, i.e. played FM 17, 18, 19, etc., the transitions are easier and you can adapt to new challenges, features added. I've got mates that used to play it, stopped, and then tried to get back on it, but felt there was too much to catch up on.
It's true.
Mark Moorhead, absolutely love the detail. It takes me around three quarters of an hour to set up a new game, to do all the training, get best stuff in, search for new players, but I also love doing it. Also makes excellent value for money buying the game. Get months of constant enjoyment out of the game for £30. Terry World Order. It may be overwhelming to new users, but because of default tactics training, it's not a steep learning curve. If you have a passion for football, you will love this game. Personally, I think they are missing a trick not to have a smaller women's version, which would be better than Touch.
It's a good show.
I think it's due. A women's version is definitely due.
Yeah. And then we've got Crofty82. I think the depth is fine, but sometimes a bit convoluted, which just means hard to get to grips with, I guess. They keep adding things with really sorting issues, but have been around for years. Like, okay, transfer AI. When you bid for a player and they won't accept an offer, then they sell to another team for a lot less than you bid for. That's actually true. That happens. Brett Kemp. It's okay if it's meaningful. Too much seems to do little or nothing to influence your success. Tactical briefings, data analysis, press conferences amongst them. I disagree. We talked about the press conferences a couple of episodes ago, didn't we? And I think they do certain things. They make your players happier, which leads to better dynamics, which leads to better match cohesion and leads to better results, doesn't it? So give me more features with big impacts, e.g. the training improvements. FM Union, I love the detail in Football Manager so much. It's the reason I buy it again and again every year. Nothing comes close to the management style the game offers. Makes it so addicted. I love the depth. Sorry, FM Tahiti. I love the depth and the variety that comes with the detail. I think if you sacrifice the detail, you'd have a lot less in the way of options. I think the tipping point between detail and speed was around FM 13, though. After 13, I think the detail and options started to ramp up then. And then finally we've got I wanted to put this in here because I'm not going to read out exactly, well, it doesn't really say much, it's just a post. So Black Sea FM has posted a link on it saying from Dictate the Game. And basically they've said it's a link that says why FM Touch might be the game for you. So obviously it is relevant because if FM is a bit too much, FM Touch is very, very scaled back and it could the answer to your prayers. And then obviously Dictate the Game said thank you for this. He said, I still play Touch, but during lockdown I've moved back to a normal FM. Touch really balances detail and playtime, but it just takes a while to get used to. So that's the thoughts of everyone, the Twitterverse. And thank you so much, guys. There have been loads. That's the second week in a row, or second show in a row, we've had a really, really good response. So thank you so much for input, listeners. We really do appreciate it. Donny, what are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting hearing the views, actually, of what people think. I totally agree with the advantage that the Football Manager series has got is that it's the name and people know it so well that there's going to be a huge fan base in the world. So no matter what version comes out, people will still buy it, even if it's in depth or not. I think the inclusion of FM Touch was a great idea because people will say, if you think about a complete newbie going into the game and they look at all the features, they'll be blown over. They'll be thinking, oh, this is too technical. I just want to go play a game or two for an hour or two, then go off and play Fortnite or something. But they've got the inclusion now of FM Touch. And with FM Touch, I've only played FM Touch once or twice. I didn't realize how quick it is to play a couple of games. But I'm like you guys. I go into the more technical Football Manager series because I'm a massive fan. But I can see what people think about it being too depth for a newbie. It is very, wow, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. That's why when I play the game, I actually turn off. I don't do any training whatsoever. I let the assistant do that. I don't do any team speech. I actually do limit it down. And the scouting does get a bit tedious at times, especially when you're saying no to all the players you don't want to buy. But I'm sure there's ways of doing that. But I think there's other improvements to the game that they should really be concentrating on now, like the 3D match engine. I totally agree. We definitely need to change that. And also the stadium. I know it's a daft thing to say, but I play lower leagues football, and when my AFC Benson, I've got a stadium 2000, I look on the graphics and it looks like my stadium's 15K or something.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense. I just want the odd garden shed and the odd one stadium, and that's
it. Yeah, there should be. I agree with that. I'm not sure how much that lends to, you know, the running of the game, but I do agree with that, Footley, because like you said, you don't. It takes the immersion out of it, doesn't it? When you're pressed up cables and you're playing in what looks like a championship stadium.
I was in a level 10 game against my near neighbours Wallingford. Hello, Wallingford. And
it makes the stadium look empty as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, the stadium was meant to be 1,000 people, and I had 18 people watching it, which was 17 away, and then probably a man and his dog. But the stadium looked like there was, you know, full camera crew there. There was the referee was running around. There was three stands. I was thinking, no, it's meant to be. It's
completely the opposite of what you'd expect, really, isn't it?
If you've watched the BBC when they do the FA Cup qualifying rounds, which is a really great way of showing grassroots football, when they showed, you know, the first qualifying round, and you saw what their stadiums looked like, and it was two garden sheds and four or five people and the odd shout, and that was it. But when you go into the game, it's nothing like that. So I'm hoping.
But I guess their argument to that would be that actually they only go down to the Vanarama North.
Yeah.
When you add on the lower leagues, that's you doing that. So
yeah, but if
they're
you
not going to put them grounds in, are they?
Yeah, but if you think about it, I mean, of all the leagues that FM have got added in, I would say there's a good more than 50% of clubs that would have stadiums or grounds like a non-league ground.
Yeah,
because think of all the countries that they've got added in the game, and I can tell you that.
Oh yeah, I suppose when you look at other countries
stands.
As well, definitely.
What does Accrington Stanley's ground look like in game? Because that's the smallest stand I think in league football. Is it one of the smallest?
I don't know. Accrington Stanley, who are they?
Exactly.
Sad to get that
Oxford,
in there.
Oxford and Accrington have got a nice bond. Actually, we really liked each other's supports because of the history between our two clubs. I do agree about. I think the game is at the right level at the moment, but we now have got. How old's FM Touch? Is it a few years old now?
Yeah, it's definitely a few years old. I'd say at least five. It was definitely in FM 15, wasn't it?
Yeah, if people think it's the game is too in-depth, then you have got FM Touch to play it on. And it's a lot quicker game. I think it's for the people who haven't got hours and hours to play the game. They've only got an hour a night or something. They can go in there, do their save, play 3-4 games in an hour, which in Football Manager takes, what, a month takes normally an hour or something in Football Manager, something like that. So
I think when it comes to FM Touch, the issue that we have is that, say like you're at uni and then, you know, for a few years and you've played FM religiously because you got all the time in the world when you're at uni, playing yeah. Football Manager religiously, and then you get a job and the job you got is like, as you work in all sorts of hours, right? So now you're used to playing Football Manager as it is, and now you haven't got time, but you want to play Football Manager. So then you go to Football Manager Touch and it's just terrible because you're so used to
the full game. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
and I think in that case, it doesn't lend a hand to anything. I think people who haven't played Football Manager, or at least haven't played for a long time,
try Touch first.
Yeah, I think even if you haven't played since like 2012 or something like that, if you go into Touch, it's probably not going to be that much different. But if you played the more recent installments, it's going to be so different that it's off-putting. Like, I literally can't play it because I feel like once you've pressed that start match game, there's nothing you can do to change the game. I feel like because the options are so limited by bringing on subs and taking off subs, you literally can't influence that game. That result has already been made before that game started playing out.
Yeah, for a beginner in the Football Manager series, or someone who hasn't played Football Manager for about 10 or so years, or even shorter than that, try FM Touch first to see if you like it. And if you do, then go to the full whack version. It's a good beginner type way of getting introduced to Football Manager, but Football Manager's got such a massive fan base and people will still keep buying no matter what year it'll be.
Yeah. I keep buying it and I don't really have time to play it anymore either, but I still buy it and I love it. I love it. But the thing I think is missing is there's no in between. Like, I think you've got FM Touch, which is so basic, and then you've got Football Manager that's so in depth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think it lends. I don't think if you start playing Football Manager Touch, I don't think it lends a route into playing Football Manager the full game.
I can see why people go back to the Championship Manager games and stuff like that, the ones you can play actually online now, because they are kind of like the sort of like the grandfather to FM Touch, and that you can easily get into them. And even the old Championship Manager 2 and 97, 98 is actually a bit more depth than FM Touch in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And also, but if you don't like Football Manager Touch and you want to learn, you've got the time and you want to learn Football Manager, we do obviously in the last couple of years they've introduced the what are they called?
Like the training tutorials.
Tutorials, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the word for them now is. It begins with I think, doesn't it? But you know, inductions. Yeah. They've got the induction, so you can go in and you can do training inductions, you can do, and it basically walks you through what's expected. And like people have said in the tweets, you know, that there is a lot of the game that you can sort of bypass by getting the right staff to do it. Getting staff that you trust again is another matter. Because I don't trust much of my stuff, but I enjoy doing all the in-depth stuff, and I'm really getting in depth with the training and stuff this year.
It depends what, how much time you've got, basically, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, but like, you know, the likes of what's it called, where you do the where you have groups, what's that called this year?
Oh, social groups or something.
No, I mean in the training section.
Oh, mentoring
and that. I think that's really good this year.
I haven't even touched that.
Yeah, I've looked at that this year and
yeah, I use that quite a bit.
Yeah, and setting the staff training where they're going and stuff like that every time, because I think one of the issues is staff, sometimes you're bringing in staff like you're bringing in players, and you're getting rid of staff like you're getting rid of players. And I think the issue is you always concentrate so much on your players that your staff doesn't, you forget about your staff, kind of.
That's true.
And you know, your staff do get worse as all the other you know, you could go into a game and you could have you could be in the Premier League and you could have the best staff in the Premier League, top of the whack all the way through, from physios to coaches to recruitment staff. But then by the end of the season, you could be below average because all the other teams around you are getting better staff.
Yeah.
And what's actually happening is your staff are getting worse, not getting worse, but in comparison to everyone else's staff, they're not as good anymore. And because of that, you're sort of not getting staff you can trust as much, because, you know, with all the jobs that you can give them. So I'm still yet to find a balance of trusting staff. And luckily for me, I enjoy doing all the training and all that myself. The only thing I do sort of leave my staff to is, funny enough, giving staff contracts and under 20s and 18s contracts. They're the things
I think it's down to, it's always better if you do it yourself, isn't it? And I mean, I do very similar to what Donny was saying. I don't do my training. I get my staff to do my training for me, because the thought of planning a 4-week training schedule.
Time-consuming.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, and this is what we're saying about the FM Touch stuff as well, is that there's, you've got one camp where you've got your casuals who just want to jump in, do tactics, sign players and play the games.
Exactly.
That's all they want to do.
Yeah.
But and then you've got the people who, a lot of the guys we've had the replies from, are very in-depth, and they've gone right the way through Football Manager and picked things up as they've gone along and want more in-depth and more details.
It does seem quite amazing to hear that a lot of people now are using databases from 20, like your Carl's using, 20, 30 years ago in the current game. So there's kind of like they're trying to bring back the love of the old Championship Manager series back into the current format to see how it goes. Like,
it's almost like they're trying to blend it, isn't it? It's trying to blend the sort of your nostalgia of your players from back then to the in-depth mechanics
of
the current Football Manager. The whole discussion, it's quite interesting to me, because I got back into Football Manager around about 2017, and I was out of it since probably about Football Manager 2009.
Wow.
So I was very much in this camp where, you know, I first loaded the game up and I thought, oh my God, what is going on here? I have no idea what's going on. And I loved the game back then and I love the game now. And the way I learned was literally watching YouTube videos, watching YouTubers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the more I got into their stories and watching them play the game, I got to learn how to do stuff by doing that. So I agree with what we were saying before, where there's not really a in-between link between your touch and your full fat game.
Yeah.
Because they're so stripped back in touch, but yet so in-depth with Football Manager.
I don't think there will be a middle version.
No, no. I don't think there will be. There's probably not really any call for it, really.
No,
but
there isn't.
Like you said, if you're passionate enough, you'll learn.
Exactly,
it's just having the time, isn't it? So I think basically you've got the version of, I don't have time, I want to blast through a season in a few hours. Or I'm really... They're basically difficulty levels, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
And I think your core audience want the in-depth. Because if you want it simple down, you can play FIFA.
Well, our core audience does, because that shows that. Because, you know, most of the tweets that we had... I mean, if you're not an avid Football Manager fan, then you're probably not going to be part of a Football Manager community online, are you? So,
obviously,
we are going to get the top end of the spectrum replies that, no, we love the game, because that's where we're at with it. Do you know what I mean?
But it also lends itself to where, I think it was one of the other guys was saying, where you can strip it back and have your staff do it. But then it goes into the discussion then of how much do you trust your staff to do it?
Yeah.
Which then, I guess, leans you into wanting to learn how to do it, which then gets you more involved to do it and then play the full game itself.
Yeah, like never get your director of football to make transfers for you.
I could definitely agree with that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Crash.
Right. We are coming up to 55 minutes now. So we will have to move on to the quiz.
Yeah.
Which has very nicely been provided by our special guest today, Donny. Take it away, dude.
Okay, I'm an old fogey, so I've actually played Championship Manager since Championship Manager 1, since 1992, I think it was. So this quiz is going to be called Football Manager, A Blast of the Past.
Nice.
questions about Championship Manager, Football Manager series, and there's just 8 questions, and there's a tiebreaker at the end if you need it. So, are you guys ready?
Is it fastest finger first? Do we buzz it in? Or
it's multiple choice.
Do we both get? Do we both get a say? A chance to answer or not?
Yeah, you both can say A, B, C, blah, 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 whatever, and then I'll tell you which is the right answer. All right?
Yep.
Okay.
So the first question, the first real well-known football management computer game version was released on 8-bit computers back in the 1980s. What year was the original Football Manager released? Was it A, 1981, B, 1982, or C, 1983?
Oh, this is going to be a guess question. I'll go with 1983, so I'll go for C. I'll go for the later year.
Okay.
I'm going to go for B just to be different. Although I would have gone to I would have gone for C because that's the year of my birth, but I'm going to go for B.
So you're going for B because it's just a little bit different, is that right?
Yeah, well, as you'll know if you listen to the quiz, I try not to go the same way as Super Swan, purely because then one of us have to get it right and one of us have to get it wrong.
It's okay, the answer is B, 1982.
Sweet.
There we go. See, that's what you get for being different.
See, it pays off. It pays off.
Okay, question 2 is linked to question 1. So this is quite a toughie. Not for me, though, but obviously for you guys. Which company made this game? Was it A, Ocean Software, B, Ultimate Games, or C, Addictive Games?
I like the name Addictive Games, so I'll go C.
I'm going to go A, because that rings a bell.
Well, they're all true computer games. Ocean Software were the Bethesda, whatever called the time of now.
I don't think it's them now, then.
No. Addictive Games.
Get in there.
It's a one-guy company.
Well, fair play.
Okay, question number 3. Championship Manager first appeared in what year? Was it? There's 4 choices here now. A, 1989. B, 1991, C, 1992, or D, 1993. Now, if you were listening to me carefully, I kind of gave it away.
I was going to say, I'm going to go with your answer, but I'll let Kylex please go first.
I'm going to go C.
So I'll go 1992.
If so, it's 1992. Yeah, I forgot I actually put that in one quiz. Yeah, it's 1992.
There we go.
You all got one at least. What was the first spin-off of the Championship Manager series? Was it A, Championship Manager Italia, B, Championship Manager Deutsch, or C, Championship Manager Francais?
I think I know this one, but I'll let Kylex please go first.
A. A.
Okay.
Is that the Italia one?
That's the Italia one, yeah.
I'll go with Italia as well.
Yep, it was my Championship Manager Italia, which was, I think, 97, 98, and it was a massive success.
Yeah.
Question 5. In total, how many versions of Championship Manager was released? Now, this is not spin-offs, mobile versions, or made computer game versions. This is how many versions of the Championship Manager was released. Okay? So that's A, was there 4 versions? B, was there 5 versions? Or C, was there 6 versions?
I'm going to go 6.
Okay.
I was going to go 6 as well, but I'm going to go 5.
Championship Manager 5 was the final release in that name until, because that was it was released the same time as Football Manager, so it was 5.
So have I taken the lead again?
Yeah,
you second time lead. I've gone the opposite way to Swan and it's paid off again.
Okay, the original Championship Manager was released with how many active leagues? Leagues, not countries. Okay, because they didn't have countries in the first version. Was it 3, 4? 5 or 6?
I'm going to go 3.
I'm going to go 4.
It's 4.
Oh, I should have gone 4! I changed my mind!
The 4 being Division 1 to 4. No Premier League.
That's what I went with.
I changed my mind!
There was no Premier League until 93-94 version of the Championship Manager.
God damn it.
Those were the days. 2 questions left. Why this is a good one. Why was Football Manager 2005 banned in a few countries? Now, listen carefully. There's 6 choices.
Okay.
Is it A, because it featured women players? B, because it featured a cheat mode which people could put in codes, and I don't mean tactics or anything, or C, because it had its own version of loot boxes that could be used in the game, or D, because some countries were separated in the game, which some others found offensive, or E, because the actual cover art was so badly done that retailers refused to sell it, or F, because real-life referees in those countries didn't like how they were treated in some games and got upset. Now, do you want me to repeat any of those?
I'm going to go for...
So we had the... women players, cheat mode, loot boxes, countries banned, cover art, or referees.
There's two that stand out to me.
I'm going
to
go cover art.
Right.
That wasn't one of the two. There's two I'm thinking of. It's either going to be the cheat mode or it's going to be the countries. I'm going to go for the countries.
And you're back level. It's countries.
Back level? I was two ahead.
Oh, one behind them.
I prefer to be a level, to be honest.
It's D. China banned this game as Tibet and Taiwan were included as separate countries and they simply didn't like it.
Yeah, whenever it comes to countries and borderlines, people get funny about those, so I thought it might have been that one.
Okay, final question then. And it's a true or false. True or false, when it was released, it was then the fourth fastest selling game of all time. This was Football Manager 2005.
I'll let you go first.
I'm going to go...
I go false.
You are level now. It's false.
God's sake.
It's the fifth fastest game, fastest selling
game. I had a feeling because it was a true or false. I thought it was going to be false, but no. All right, go on then.
When it was initially released, it was the fifth fastest selling game of all time. It's gone down a bit now, obviously. Okay, so does that mean you guys are level?
It does.
Yeah, boy.
You got the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker.
To date, how many copies has the Football Manager series, this is 2004 onwards version, 2005, sorry, onwards version, sold? Right, the nearest wins, if you go over, you lose. It's in the million. It's in the millions. That's the only clue I'm going to give you.
We've got to guess the number.
You've got to guess. The nearest wins, if you go over it, you lose. That makes sense.
Right. I'm going to go. So all of Football Manager, yeah?
Yeah, from 2005 to now.
10 million.
Okay.
Well, 12 million.
The answer is, drum roll. Good. 18.1 million copies.
Yes!
Wow.
I win.
We have a winner on the tiebreaker. Well done.
Take it any way it comes at the minute. My form on these quizzes have been terrible recently.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Okay. I hope you like it anyway.
It was good. It was a good quiz. I'm quite surprised at how much I knew of it because I was expecting, like, we had a one with Mad Scientist, which was a retro quiz as well. And
nice.
Swan absolutely battered me at it. So I was a bit like,
it's nice to think of the past of the game, actually, because there's a massive amount of past, like, playing Championship Manager 1 and 2. I had so many years playing as a Liverpool manager with these players' names that made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah. I played USM 98 and there was like Eric Cantona and stuff like that instead of Cantona.
Yeah.
One letter out just to, you know, because then they couldn't do them for copyright.
Get around the licensing.
Yeah, because I think it was Premier Manager, which was Championship Manager's main rival, and they easily beat Premier Manager.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, well, then. Go. Yeah, thank you so much for that. Appreciate
good
that.
Good quiz, mate. Appreciate that.
So, with time running out very quickly, sorry, it has gone a bit over, but we've had quite a good reply to the tweets, and obviously we weren't here last week, so think of it as an extra. Where can we find you, Tony?
Currently on two streaming places. I've got my Donut Donny YouTube channel, so obviously just find out Donut Donny and you'll find me there. But I'm mostly streaming on Twitch nowadays, and I'm on www.twitch.tv/DonutDonny. And I do Football Manager. I do variation of other games as well, but Football Manager is my love, and that's the most one I normally do. Like, we've just done a Star Wars Battlefront 2 classic multiplayer stream 2 days ago, and that was hilarious. So But I mostly am a Football Manager player and streamer. You can find me there. So come and say hello.
Cool. And Super Swan?
So, yeah, you can find me on the YouTubes at Super Swan, Twitter at Super Swan YT. I do the stream on a Saturday. I play non-Football Manager stuff on a Saturday on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/super_Swan. And yeah, you can find me on Discord as well. Just Super Swan. Just Super Swan everywhere, really. I'm stealing Kylex Plays' line there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm, I'm, funny enough, Kylex Plays everywhere. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. My Twitch is currently no Football Manager whatsoever. My Football Manager series is on my YouTube only. So yeah, I'm on all of those platforms. Come and check me out. And yeah, that's all we've got time for today. So I guess it'll be goodbye from me. Goodbye from Donny.
Goodbye. Thanks for inviting me.
No worries. And goodbye from Super Swan.
Have a good one, guys.
And I'm just going to get into Gear Kaha.
Yeah, we'll do a Pock Era Gear Kaha for you. Let's show you.
Gear Kaha.